May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We talk about a lot here, discovering, experiencing, and manifesting the fullness of Christ. As a matter of fact, we talk about that in terms of our calling. Our identity is that we're in Christ, we're in union with Christ, but our calling is to be a lovesick dwelling place from which the abiding or indwelling Christ can live his life in fullness. But one of the foundations of that is understanding to become that lovesick dwelling place that responds in radical surrender and faith, which allows Christ to live his life through us in fullness. We have to have some sense of how much God loves us. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "For this reason," verse 14, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." So comprehending that which is incomprehensible in our natural mind concerning how much God loves us is very foundational to being filled up with the fullness of God. And he wouldn't put that there, that we can know what that is, to be filled up with the fullness of God, if it was just a cruel tease. It's actually something we can experience. And so I was thinking about Bracken. This was not what I was going to share. When he read those verses from John 15, I thought about these verses a little bit before that. He says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather him and cast him into the fire and they're burned. But if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." You hear that again. "Just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." And John 17, let's see, I have to read a few verses to find it, and it's hard to do because I can't read through my crayon. Verse 23, "I and them, you and me, Father, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me, and that you love them even as you have loved me." Now hear what Jesus says in these two verses. He said, "Father, I love them as much as you love me. The same way you love me, I love them." And he says in John 17, "And you love them the same way you love me." Now think about that. Throughout eternity and from all eternity, how much does God love God? See, one of the things that makes the Trinity, the theology of the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity so powerful is that God's relational. So it makes sense to me that the God who is love, there's one God in three persons, one being of one substance, one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a hard thing to wrap your head around. But it's true, and that's what the church has always believed. And how much does the Father love the Son and the Spirit, and the Spirit love the Son and the Father, and back and forth? How much do they love each other? Can you imagine the intensity of that environment and the intensity of that love? That the Trinity is always shared. And one of the things that God did when he created us, why did he create human beings? God doesn't need anything. God didn't create us because he was lonely. Because one of the intrinsic realities about that kind of love, the love of God, is and love in general, is that love wants to give. Love wants to share. There's the joy of love that wants to give away, that wants others to experience. So he created us because he wanted us to know the joy of his love and that we'd manifest his likeness. And so when we try to comprehend how much Christ loves us, the love of Christ, so that we can know the fullness of God, because you see, faith works through love. You'll never live by faith more than you understand how much God loves you. Because trust is built on that foundation. But this is how much he loves you. God loves you the same way God loves God. God loves you with the same intensity that he loves, the Trinity loves each other. Now you think about that. And God doesn't love you that way, not realizing how weak and imperfect we are. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world, the fallen world. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he says, those that God gave him out of the world, he loved them to the uttermost, to the end. He knows we're fallen, and he knows that we're weak, and he knows that we're imperfect. And in some ways, this is the brilliance of God. Did God want mankind to fall? Absolutely not. Does God want us to sin? Absolutely not. Has he come to set us free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin? Absolutely. But is God always steal the enemy's thunder? Does the enemy always overplay his hand? Yes. And so God uses our fallenness to even make the case even more that he's love. Because anybody can love somebody who's always getting it right. Haven't you found that to be true? It's easy to love the people that never hurt you or disappoint you or betray you. It's easy to love people who behave the way you think they should behave. I tease Olivia a lot. Her last name, for she marries Reeves, and I always tell her there's the right way, there's the wrong way, and there's the Reeves way, which is the perfect way. And if you don't do it the Reeves way, then you're in trouble. That's right. But you need to understand, with God's eyes wide open, not in spite of your brokenness, but in light of your weakness, he loves you, the Father loves you, just as much and with the same intensity as he loves Jesus. And Jesus loves you with the same intensity that the Father loves him. God loves you the same way God loves God, in light of your weaknesses. And it says in Micah 7:18, God delights in his unending love. He doesn't love you that way, wishing that he hadn't gotten stuck in the relationship. He doesn't love you that way, kind of in a bad mood. He delights in loving you the same way he loves the other members of the Trinity. It's amazing to me. It's too good to be true. It's called grace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.